Okay. Cheryl, you may share for 20 to 25 minutes. I will let you know when you have 5 minutes left.
Thank you very much, Mona, and thank you for your service of moderating this session, and to the host
You're
who's
welcome.
Keeping the meeting quiet for us. My name is Cheryl, and I'm powerless over my emotions and other people, places, and things. I myself am nothing. It's the Father in me who doeth the work. I would like to thank the committee who worked on making this day conference for us possible this fourth year. It's pretty wonderful that that we have each other and this can be provided for us, and it's definitely a godsend for me in my life. Excuse me, and I'd also like to welcome who all call into this meeting and participate, whether it's by sharing your experience, strength, or hope, whether it's by listening or any service that you choose to do. And then, of course, even people who just call in to listen, you're all welcome. The way that I was taught that the way that I keep the recovery that I've been so freely given is to share it with newcomers, especially with newcomers. I was taught very early on that the newcomer is the most important person in a room. And when I came in, the people ahead of me in the program suggested that I get a sponsor, I get a home group, and then I was taught to say yes to the program. So anything that I would be requested of me, as it had to do with Emotions Anonymous or 12-step recovery, that I should be willing to do. And I'm grateful for the people ahead of me in the program and the lessons that I have been able to learn. I was taught very early on that, I was taught to get a sponsor, get a home group. And so and as far as becoming active in the home group, I was taught that you show up for your home group 45 minutes to an hour ahead of time and set the meeting up to be available to greet the newcomers. And for me, that is one way of carrying the message, is to keep the rooms open. And that was before the coronavirus we had to shut places down as churches were closing, and the places where we were holding our meetings began to close. And I was taught to, get there, set the meeting up, and stay after the meeting to talk to newcomers and answer any questions they had, and then also to restore the room back to the way we found it, or even better than we found it. When I first came across 12-step literature and I read the steps, it just came to my head that, even people who don't have issues with substances or whatever the 12-step group was for, that, these things look like they would be beneficial to anybody, just trying to take a look inward and take a look at themselves and make improvements, that the 12 steps was just, it was just dynamite. Now, Emotions Anonymous, being that it's for emotional and mental disorders, there's a stigma attached to emotional and mental disorders. And when I came into Emotions Anonymous and getting involved and trying to be as open and as honest as I could at that time, I think I started to believe that, the stigma isn't as bad as it was, or it didn't exist, or it no longer existed. But what I learned was that it was important for me to be able to accept my mental illness. I was diagnosed at the age of 19, and it was pretty much taboo in my family. I was ostracized. I was talked about a lot behind my back, but it just happened to get back to me a lot, the things that, you know, people were saying, and it used to be so, so very hurtful. And it was hurtful to the extent that, you know, I'm just going to keep this to myself and try to do the best I can and, you know, definitely not be honest with people and definitely not share with people, because it became quite painful. But what the 12-step program of Emotions Anonymous taught me was to have acceptance and to let go of my own internal shame that was associated with my particular disorder, just personally for myself. Since coming into the program, and when I would hear someone suffer or someone talk about, you know, something was going on with them mentally or emotionally, I was very quick to share about Emotions Anonymous. I can remember my daughter was in grade school, and she had a teacher, and this teacher had shared with me that her father committed suicide, and, you know, she was on antidepressants, and she told me what she was on. And, oh, my goodness, so she was just a great candidate for EA. So I brought her the yellow pamphlet, and then there's a New Way of Life pamphlet, and I think I bought her a meeting list. And she looked at the literature, and she said, I don't have emotional problems. And I just kind of like stopped in my steps. It's like, okay, if you say so. But what it taught me was that everybody's not receptive. So when it comes to carrying the message, it is, I would have to say, far easier to carry the message to someone who is willing to hear it. Step 12 states, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The principles embedded in the 12 steps, the first step, the principle is honesty. The second step is hope. The third step is faith. The fourth step is courage. The fifth step is integrity. The sixth step is willingness. The seventh step is humility. The eighth step is brotherly love and responsibility. The ninth step is justice. The tenth step is perseverance or discipline. And the 11th step is spiritual awakening. And the 12th step is service. Trying to live my life according to spiritual principles that I probably never paid attention to prior to coming into the rooms of Emotions Anonymous has allowed my life to change, and it has allowed the God of my understanding to come into my life and effected change. I was asked to speak on HOW to carry the message to others. And the HOW stands for honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And a couple of questions that the committee put to maybe ponder, maybe think about and speak on was, how does openness fit into the process of carrying the message? And what was something that was difficult for me while trying to be honest with myself? And have I been able to address it or move past it? And then what does the willingness to carry the message mean to me? And now first start with honesty. And I pulled a few quotes from our EA Big Book. On page 18, it talks about honesty leading to serenity. And EA is a program of honesty. By being honest with ourselves, we can learn to live peacefully with unsolved problems. This is serenity. On page 45, it states that step one, honesty and humility. Admitting our human limitation frees us from hiding our imperfections from ourselves and from others, thus allowing us to face the reality of our own situation. On page 128, it says, know yourself, be honest. And the honesty of others, this is from page 189 and 190, so this is from someone's personal story. The honesty of others opens the door to self-honesty. Open-mindedness is considered to be a means to an end. And I got this out of some AA literature. And the end goal, is truth. I've always heard that willingness is the key. My grand sponsor used to tell me that if I had trouble, with willingness to pray for the willingness to be willing. Chapter 5 of the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, part of it says, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And I'm so grateful that the people ahead of me in this program of Emotions Anonymous, you know, allowed me not only to sit in the rooms as they shared their story with me, but invited me to come along. And you want what we have, then you need to be willing to do what we do. And, you know, I know early on in my program, we used to travel from Cleveland to Akron and so the surrounding areas to have meetings and fellowship and meet with each other, and it was different for me because I don't think I belong to anything you know, outside of maybe I would have to say maybe my church membership, or you know, being a student, being a daughter, being a mother, those type of things. But then to belong to something and to actually participate, it surprises me that I've been able to stay around as long as I have. And I'm so very grateful to the God of my understanding that I still have a seat in the rooms. My particular home group, it's in Cleveland Heights, and it shut down in March. But then I think they opened back up in July, and I still haven't been able to go to a face-to-face meeting because I have underlying conditions, and for me it's just too much of a risk. And now I'm dealing with an elderly mother who is ill. Excuse me. So I can't take that slight risk of, you know, maybe coming in contact with something and then bringing it back into her home in her weakened condition. So I haven't been to my face-to-face meeting since early this year. And that's difficult. I love having phone meetings to attend, but it's nothing like getting together with, you know, my area members. It does do my heart good, although, to hear familiar people, like people from my area, on the telephone meetings. It just does my heart good when I hear a familiar voice and I can put a face to that voice because I've met that person before. It really does my heart good. And I also have that willingness involves a change of heart and letting go of our old ways. something that I probably thought wasn't possible for me. I can remember I worked on like the 20-something floor, and when I would get on the elevator in the morning, people would get on the elevator smiling, greeting each other, and I walked around with a dark cloud over my head, and I was the type, like that Fred Flintstone, like growl in the morning, you know, don't you dare say anything to me, and nope, not before I had my cup of coffee. Well, I didn't drink coffee, so there was nothing to calm that beast within me. And when people would get on the elevator, I'd wonder, you know, what are they smiling about? What are they so happy about? You know, I couldn't relate to it at all. And my daughter, when she was a baby, she used to get up happy, and I used to look and say, what has she got to be so happy about? Because I was just miserable. I was miserable. And I can remember after being in Emotions Anonymous for a while, I'm walking into the elevator, and that dark cloud that was over my head was no longer there. And when somebody would say good morning, and I looked around, well, who was that? And it was me. And I was like, oh my gosh, when did that happen? Like, I never thought that I would be able to spell the word happy, let alone live it. As far as carrying the message, to me, the message of 12-step recovery is hope. And I always like to say that if I'm able to provide just the smallest glimmer of hope for somebody to maybe wonder, what's this Emotions Anonymous like? Or maybe, you know, I can get something out of this if I just keep coming back, then, you know, the God in me is doing work, because it did so much to me to listen to the people ahead of me in the program and have the hope that if it could happen for them, it could happen for me. One of the ways that I've tried to carry the message, I've been hospitalized more times than I care to count. And when I would go into my friendly neighborhood institutions, I would go in, you know, kicking, screaming, crying, literally, and, you know, just wondering, when are they going to let me out of here? When can I go home? When are they going to let me out? And my sponsor, she used to come and visit me in the hospital. My dad would always come and visit me in the hospital. My mom was more like Joan Collins from Dynasty. You know, she didn't have time to deal with someone with my particular set of problems, you know, and maybe on Sunday after church when she's dressed up and smelling good, she might come in there. But, you know, she had an air about her that, you know, stiff back and, you know, like, don't really want to be here. And then she really blamed my dad for me being in the situations that I was in. But my sponsor told me to take my literature, take my EA book and any other 12-step literature that I had with me, and then she said, look around and be sure to listen to what you hear from the people around you. And she also told me to, you know, get permission to go to any 12-step meeting. Anytime there's a meeting and you can get permission to go, you go. And after I got over the kicking, the screaming, the crying, and probably heavily medicated, I was able to do that. I was able to attend meetings. I was able to pass on the information from the program to people who may have never heard it before, because people were familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous, but they had never heard of Emotions Anonymous. And I can remember being in one of our institutions that it was a public institution, and it they, at the time when you can go off the floor for recreation, the head of the recreation department sat down and talked to me, and I shared the information because I have printed up cards with my home group on it and the name and phone numbers and the website. And so I was able to get literature to her and ask her to share it with, you know, with other patients. And she was very receptive and very interested, and she did take the information. On another hospitalization, they were working on my plan for release, I spoke with a social worker. And as I'm speaking to this social worker, like, one of my plans is, you know, attending my Emotions Anonymous meetings, and she was very nasty, and she, you know, Emotions Anonymous, what is that? I've never heard of that. Okay, so if you've never heard of it, then I'm going to explain it to you, but she was not interested in hearing it at all. But there's a saying in the 12 steps that we put forth the effort, but the result are God's. So,
Cheryl, I just wanted to mention 5 minutes. Cheryl,
okay,
just 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So whenever I get the opportunity to share information, try to do my best. And also the public institution, they moved pretty far away from where they used to be. And in later years, our take it or leave it group from Akron actually did hold a monthly meeting in that facility, because they would, you know, they would elicit speakers from all of our area groups to go share at that meeting at that institution. So I always thought that that was very wonderful. I can remember that as far as, you know, me saying yes to the program, and anytime someone asked me to do something in the name of Emotions Anonymous, whether it be speak or serve in any capacity, just being able to have the willingness to do whatever I'm asked to do. And something else that it did teach me as well was, you know, I learned how to say no, and I learned how to protect myself. I was the type of person who I couldn't accept someone saying no to me, and I didn't know how to say no to another person. And some things went on as I was trying to, you know, be helpful that had a detrimental effect on me and possibly my serenity or my recovery. And I had to back up and learn that, yes, I've been taught what to do, but I've also been taught what not to do. I'm very grateful for the sponsor that I have in my life, and I've had the same sponsor throughout all my years in EA, and I always tell her it's more like a marriage, because it's, you know, she knows me inside and out, and I've come to know her inside and out, and I just appreciate the time that she has taken with me, because to say I've been challenging is an understatement. I'm grateful for the women in my life who have allowed me to be their sponsor, in that all I can do for them is guide them through the 12 steps as I was guided. I can't fix anybody. I don't have answers. I can't fix me. If I could, I wouldn't have a seat in the room of Emotions Anonymous. I wouldn't desire a seat in Emotions Anonymous, because I got this. I can fix me. I don't have it. And that is like the weight of the world lifted off of my shoulder. Nope, I don't have it. I have to place myself in God's love and care. And as far as the women in my life and the women that I sponsor, I have to place them in God's love and care as well. I can't fix you. I might have experienced strength and hope in certain areas, and maybe something that you're dealing with. I have a working knowledge of 12-step recovery, and just willing to pass it on and to share it. with anyone who is willing to listen or willing to hear it. Another place is, like I've had doctors who have been receptive. We, in our area, we hold what is called public information meetings, where we send out literature to doctors and professionals and invite them to come hear two speakers and have refreshments and fellowships afterwards. And I had a doctor who his waiting room was filled with information, and he would copy our literature and copy our meeting list and have it available to his patients. And I always thought that that was so wonderful and so helpful. We have people who go into libraries and leave the Emotions Anonymous book and literature to be posted. But then, you know, with things closing down during the coronavirus time, you know, just sharing information about phone meetings and Zoom meetings has been, you know, has been very helpful. So I try at any opportunity to share what I've been so freely given, because I'm so grateful that I have been given this program of recovery and that I have a seat in the room. And thank you for allowing me to share. Once again, Mona, thank you for moderating this session. I hope that everyone here is able to stay on for the next couple of hours and that you find what you need. You find what you need here. But as we say, you know, take what you need and leave the rest. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Mona, we can't hear you.
Yes, this is Mona. I'm sorry, I had been muted and wasn't able to get unmuted, so I dialed back in.
I was wondering if it will be possible, if anyone has the Today book that I misplaced in the helter skelter that I have been living in the last couple of weeks. I have misplaced my Today book and my EA book, and in the Today book, and I don't recall exactly what the date is, but it's been in these last couple of weeks where there's an entry for HOW. There's an entry for honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. So I was wondering if anybody can look that up in the index and possibly share that for us.
And while they're looking that up, Cheryl, thank you so much for your share.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.